In the latest episode of Undisciplined, host Kari Banton talks with Michael Pierce, an associate professor of history at the University of Arkansas. We jump into their conversation about the history of the journey of Nelson Hackett, an enslaved man who escaped his owner from Fayetteville and headed north, as in the Great North, Canada. We hear first from Michael Pierce.
He leaves Arkansas in sometime July 16th, 17th, 18th of 1841. We don't really know for sure. In fact, some of the court documents say the 16th, some say the 17th.
He was
some
sick of being sold.
Well, in fact, there are two narratives of his escape. And one narrative is the narrative told by Alfred Wallace, the man who claims to own him, the man who had the piece of paper that said he owns. And what Alfred Wallace said is this. Alfred Wallace said, you know, I was away on business for a while, and Nelson Hackett just ran away. He hinted at, but never really formally claimed, that Nelson Hackett raped a white girl. But you know, when push came to shove, they never made a formal accusation of that. But mm-hmm. they spread rumors
but
of that.
But that's usually the go-to narrative,
exactly.
As we've seen in lynching
and so on. But on his way out of town, Nelson Hackett took a coat made out of beaver, a beaver hat, a watch from a neighbor, gold watch and chain, also a saddle, and Alfred Wallace's finest racehorse.
So what does story two say?
And story two, and this is told by an abolitionist, a white abolitionist named Charles Stewart. And Charles Stewart interviewed Nelson Hackett in Detroit.
So he's ventriloquizing.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And, of course, Charles Stewart has his own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells it this way, that Alfred Wallace and Nelson Hackett were attending a horse race. Some distance from Fayetteville, and whatever some distance means. And they were at this horse race, and a horse race was quite a scene. It was more than a horse race. You would have prize fights.
Rumbunctious.
And you would have lots of drinking, and it was just a very chaotic event. And after the horse race, I think one of Alfred Wallace's horses raced. Alfred Wallace says, I have business someplace else, and he says to Nelson Hackett, why don't you take this stuff and go back to Fayetteville?
Okay, sir.
And so, as Charles Stewart says, and you know, Nelson Hackett found himself some miles away from home with all of this stuff, and he just went. He just left.
I would have said I was lost.
And he got lost
in Canada.
And Nelson Hackett did that. We know he left Fayetteville, or at least Arkansas, sometime in the middle of July of 1841. And there is an account of his flight. The important thing is that he knew where to cross the Mississippi River.
Yeah, it's very interesting, right, in how historians like yourself might, or those of us who work in the 19th century, might read into the genius of the enslaved by the choices that they made, right? I mean, this case, what he chose to take, the direction he chose to go, where he chooses to cross.
Absolutely.
Right?
And he chooses to cross the Mississippi River in Marion City, Missouri. And Marion City doesn't exist anymore. I think it fell into the Mississippi River at one point. But Marion City was founded by white abolitionists.
And
most of the people who lived in around there had abolitionist tendencies, as one of the local historians writes. And it was a famous place. So Marion City was this famous place for fugitives to cross. They crossed Marion City and went to Quincy, Illinois, which was sort of another hotbed of the Underground Railroad.
And are you getting at how Nelson Hackett would have known this?
Well, you know, we have no clue.
Right, but we can suggest, right, like Julius Scott says, a common wind blowing gossip among the enslaved in the grapevine.
Well, you know, possum up the gum tree.
Possum up the gum tree,
you know, and that comes from Sojourner's Battle Hymn.
Yes.
And it comes from the marching song of the 1st Arkansas Colored Infantry.
Right.
And we're talking about there's a secret network among enslaved people that white people throughout the South don't know about, but there are communication networks amongst enslaved people. It's important to go back to Fayetteville for a minute. Fayetteville had about 450 people in it, according to the 1840 census. About 120 of them were enslaved. And that means that Fayetteville had an enslaved population of about 28%, which put it well above the rest of the state at the time, which was about 20% enslaved. And so we have this idea that Northwest Arkansas is somehow different than the Delta, but in Fayetteville itself. But Nelson Hackett was also the only adult male. Most of the population was children and women of childbearing age. And so there's some evidence to suggest that, you know, most enslaved men in this area were not urban slaves like Nelson Hackett. And Nelson Hackett worked for Alfred Wallace, who owned a grocery store. He was more of a personal servant, a valet. And so that means that he also... He was taken to horse races.
Mm-hmm.
He had knowledge
of the geography.
Of the geography. He would talk to people in a wider network. And in this way, he gained these types of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he shared that knowledge with the enslaved community in Fayetteville. But the other thing to remember is Fayetteville doesn't become settled until – well, it doesn't be really – 1828, 1827. And what that means is that if you were an adult enslaved person in Fayetteville, you were born someplace else.
You were born someplace else.
And so you also come to Fayetteville with knowledge of other places. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of weird things going on and how this knowledge and this intelligence is gathered.
Because people think that enslaved people, because literacy was banned, right, that they don't have knowledge.
Right.
But they create their own knowledge, their form of literacy. It's like white people who go to African-American neighborhoods and like, hi, my name is Josh. And you don't know the lingo of that space. You know, that's a part of the literacy of that community that because of white supremacy, you might think the white lingo is the only way of communicating. But no, that also exists as well. And you're looking crazy. So they have their own knowledge.
So they have their own sets of knowledge and they have their own networks of communication.
It reveals a kind of genius about
absolutely.
Them as people.
What we think is that he basically headed north, he followed the roads up through what was then Springfield, Missouri, and then due north and crosses Missouri River around Boonville, and then heads east by northeast up to Marion City. And as I said before, Marion City was this sort of Marion City and across the river at Quincy, Illinois. It was sort of a hotbed of the Underground Railroad. It was a place that lots of fugitives crossed the river. And there were sympathizers on both sides. In fact, 2 weeks before Nelson Hackett crosses, three white men are arrested and put in jail for helping fugitives cross the Mississippi River. And these men, George Thompson, Allenson Worth, and I forget his last name is Burr. I forget his name. They become martyrs in this larger abolitionist story.
Right.
And they're actually sitting in a jail outside of Marion City in Marion County, and they're writing in their diaries, we heard four more enslaved people cross the Mississippi River today.
Mm.
And, you know, one of them might have been Nelson Hackett. We
right.
don't know.
Yeah.
But at that—
They're hearing these rumors. Historians love rumors.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, this is a place that enslaved people in Missouri and Arkansas knew about, and they knew they would have allies. They would have people, abolitionists, both black and white, that would help them cross the Mississippi River and send them on their way, whether from Quincy to Galesburg or to Princeton or any of the other towns along the Underground Railroad.
Yeah. And one more thing I wanted to say about rumors and gossip, right? Like, people, like, you know, as a historian, you love these kinds of things, because if you're studying people who don't have access to what you call formal channels of communications, this is how they create their own networks of communication and sharing that knowledge through gossip, the grapevine, you know, all of this kind of stuff.
But the other part of this that I think is worth mentioning is that when Nelson Hackett left, when he escaped, when he fled, it took a few days, but Alfred Wallace sent people to go look for him.
That was U of A history professor Michael Pierce speaking with Caree Benton, the host of the podcast Undisciplined.
You can hear the full conversation wherever you get your podcast. Undisciplined is a collaboration between KUAF, Ozarks at Large, and the African and African American Studies Program at the University of Arkansas, and produced by our very own Matthew Moore.